Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to the show. This is Al-Dhikriyat with me, Tasneem. Rabbi shahli sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqaw qawli. We begin today's show in the name of Allah. In the name of Allah, all praises due to Allah. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyatina a'malina. And we begin by praising Allah and sending blessings upon His chosen messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you've just joined us, I'm Tasneem, and this is the show to help you overcome unhealthy habits and old patterns so that you can reclaim your magic and create more of what you want out of your life. Alhamdulillah, we're almost coming towards the last third of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, all is not lost. If you haven't accomplished some of the goals that you set out to do in the beginning of Ramadan, inshallah, listen to today's show, inshallah, where we can now try and gather up all the strength and energy that you have left, and let's go full force into the final last 10 days of Ramadan. Subhanallah. So throughout the month of Ramadan, we've been doing a show every week for the last, this is the third week of Ramadan, focusing on things that we'd like to change within our lives. And we know that Ramadan is also a month for spiritual detoxing as well as physical detoxing and emotional detoxing. So we've been speaking about things to do for a remarkable Ramadan. And that is the name of the series, Remarkable Ramadan on Al-Dhikriyat. So this week being week three, we look at how to free your heart from vengeance, hatred, and unforgiveness. We learn to let go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that those who become angry but are quick to forgive will have a reward from Allah. And remember that companion who forgave everyone before he went to bed, being described by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a person from Jannah. Subhanallah. So before we continue with today's show, inshallah, Radio Islam has been doing an amazing theme this whole month of Ramadan, speaking about the blessed names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, let us focus on one of the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we're focusing on the name Al-Badi, the originator, the incomparable inventor. Allah calls himself Al-Badi, the incomparable originator. On two occasions in the Quran, he is the one who initiates and creates in amazing and original ways that have no precedent, without any model or example. Al-Badi is the incomparable, the unique, and only one who originates, commences, invents, and creates in a perfect way. The name refers to the one and only originator who time and time again does something new, unlike anything else, originating its existence without the use of any tool and without being limited to time or space. The marvelous one who originates, commences, invents, and creates all that exists without any model or material. The one whose incomparable willpower first brings into existence all of the unique and amazing creation without any similarity to anything else that has ever existed. Subhanallah, the one who creates in wonderful, awesome, amazingly original ways that have no precedent whatsoever. In honoring the one creator, it has been said that mankind does not truly create, but rather merely discovers that which Allah has already created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, originator, badi'u, originator of the heavens and the earth. When he decrees a matter, he only says to it, kun fayakun, be and it is. And this verse is in Surah Al-Baqarah, in verse 117. Subhanallah, let us get to know Allah throughout this beautiful month, through His beautiful names, inshallah. So Ramadan gives us a great opportunity for us to step out of autopilot. This idea we often, you know, so busy in our day-to-day lives that we don't take a second to really check in with ourselves. And Ramadan gives us a brilliant opportunity to do that, to check in, to introspect, and to see, where am I in my life? Who am I? Where have I been? Where am I going? And how am I going to do what I need to do to get forward in life. So we need to check in with our spirituality, with our families, with our friends, with our relationships, with our communities. It also gives us an opportunity for us to really take a good look at habitual patterns and tendencies that we gain over the years. And subhanAllah, this we see in Ramadan because unfortunately, you know what the hardest part of Ramadan is? It's not the long hours of fasting or the attempts of memorizing the Quran or maybe even standing in Taraweeh prayer or even staying up in Qiyam. The hardest part is realizing that we are all our biggest enemy, acknowledging that our nafs are stronger than we think. Even though our best friend, Shaitan, a'udhu billah, even though he is locked up, he has managed to leave pockets of influences all over us. It's a very tough and bitter pill to swallow, to know that when we slip in temper, when we're impatient, when we feel laziness in our ibadah, it's not because of waswasa, but rather it's our own self. And this is a very important self-realization, to realize that that evil is built within us. And now that we realize this, what can we do? So this month, alhamdulillah, gives us a beautiful opportunity for us to really take a good look at some of our habits and our patterns and tendencies that we have gained over the year. Ramadan is a month, inshallah, where we can now boost our spirituality and keeps us going for the next 11 months, inshallah. So all is not lost. We have the last 10 days approaching us, alhamdulillah. It's now time to go full speed into the rest of this month, inshallah, and make the most of it in this last 10 nights, inshallah. This month can enable us to maybe look at some of those and break those patterns and habits that we have. If you look at it, the only way we can do this is by turning towards ourselves and understanding ourselves and start to pay attention to ourselves in a deeper way. It can affect our relationship with ourselves, it can affect our relationship with Allah and with all those around us. And when we speak about our relationship with the people around us, forgiveness is an important concept with regards to how we deal with those relationships. This ability to self-observe is essential to being a Muslim. It's something that's so incumbent upon each one of us, and it's something that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stressed upon, because self-awareness is part of being a Muslim. You need to know who you are, your identity. Just that question, who am I? Automatically, it's sami'na wa ata'na. What we hear is what we obey. So if you're a Muslim, you're submitting to the will of Allah. SubhanAllah. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us that understanding. We have to know ourselves so that we may know Allah in a better and in a deeper way. Man arafa nafsahu arafa rabbahu. They who know themselves, truly they know their Lord. But how do we do all of this? How do we step out of our autopilot? How do we take time to learn how to observe ourselves? So there are a few ways, you know, and I suppose there's many ways to get to the self. But just thinking about what we're doing in Ramadan and some of the things that we might be occupying ourselves in. So think of the time of iftar. When we eat, take time out and, you know, thank Allah for His blessings. When we're praying salah, try to be mindful in that salah. Try to be focused and know that you're standing right in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no veil between you and your Rabb, subhanAllah. When you're in sujood, those 70,000 veils have been lifted. So take into cognizance all of that, and that is what it really is all about, taqwa. And that is what fasting is all about. So today we're talking about how to set yourself free and forgive someone else this Ramadan. Free your heart from vengeance, hatred and unforgiveness. Let's learn to let go this Ramadan. Yes, I'm talking to you and I'm talking to myself also. So to forgive is to set a prisoner free, only to realize that that prisoner was you. To forgive is to set a prisoner free, only to realize that that prisoner was you. The first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. The first to forget is the happiest. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, your Prophet and my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of humanity, the best of creation Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ever created, Habibullah, he said, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave the woman who poisoned him, and she ended up embracing Islam and finding Allah through that very act of his forgiveness. Do you not want Allah to forgive you? Then we need to show mercy and we need to be merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that those who become angry but are quick to forgive will have a reward from Allah. And if you show mercy to others, then Allah will definitely show mercy to you. Do you not want Allah to forgive you? There's someone out there right now who has hurt you, and you have a grudge and it hurts and it's heavy. I want you to think about that person right now. Think about that person. I want you to think about that person who has hurt you. And we're going to tell Allah, Ya Allah, I forgive this person for you, only for your pleasure, even though they are not entitled to it. Ya Allah, I forgive this person for you, Ya Allah, even though they don't deserve it, even though I don't want to. Oh Allah, forgive me all my sins and my family and my friends until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. And if you can do this process, inshallah, then inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala make it easy for you. It's easier said than done, but it's something that needs to be done and it is doable. And Allah is capable of all of that in accepting that dua, inshallah. Allah says in the Quran, do you not want Allah to forgive you? This was the instruction given to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu when a man slandered his beautiful daughter Aisha radiallahu anhu. Because this Islam is a religion of love, a religion of forgiveness. And we need to really take cognizance of the fact that Allah Ta'ala will only show mercy unto us if we show mercy unto others. And when we hold something inside, it's only harming us, causing us pain, causing us high blood pressure, sleepless nights, stress, worry, anxiety, migraines, and oh my goodness, the list just goes on and on and on. And it's been clinically proven to be detrimental to not only your mental health, but also your physical and your spiritual health, because it stops you from making that connection with your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is from mercy. And if you are not merciful, how do you expect to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So there are two steps to forgiveness. For that person that you had in mind. And I want you to think about that person. Focus on one person at a time. There's a decisional forgiveness and there's an emotional forgiveness. So because the heart will follow the body, we need to first make it in your mind. So decisional forgiveness is mind. It's in your mind. So you need to decide and then you need to act on it. And you need to do the actions of forgiving. So make that call, do the acts, inshallah, the heart will follow, the emotions will follow, but you need to decide today to forgive whoever has burdened you and whoever has hurt you. And like I said, when you forgive, to forgive is to set a prisoner free only to realize the prisoner was you all along. So set yourself free and forgive yourself and forgive the person who has hurt you. And set yourself free this Ramadan. It's so, so important. And inshallah, when you can do this, it's so much easier for you to live a life and move forward in a healthier, mentally, physically, and spiritually way. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of us and gather us in Jannah without judgment. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. So these are things that we need to practice upon, inshallah, and make it doable within our lives. It's so, so important for us to forgive. Not necessarily to forget, that's the best kind of forgiveness, to forgive and to forget. But inshallah, if you can just start by forgiving, visualizing that person that you had in mind. So the lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548. The WhatsApp number is 072-786-1548. And the SMS line is 48855. Okay, the number to call is 011-854-1548. So here's some tips for forgiving others. I think this is a visual exercise, so if the listeners can just, obviously if you're driving, please don't try this, but if you're just at home sitting and listening to the radio in a quiet space, it would be a good activity to try. Or if you're not going to do it now, at least make a mental note of it and try and do it later, inshallah. So close your eyes and picture the person standing in front of you. In your mind's eye, explain to them how you felt then, how you feel now, and what happened during those hurtful times. After you've stated your views, let them acknowledge your pain, watch their reactions, and wait for a response. There's a good chance they will understand your point of view. Then this might get a bit difficult, but you're safe, you're in your mind, this is in your mind's eye, then hug them and tell them that you forgive them. Yes, really do this with all your emotional might. And do it only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi sabilillah. It's a powerful but extremely empowering process. Release them from your troubled past and let your thoughts come back to the present. After completing only a few of these processes, you'll find yourself breathing deeper and interacting differently with these people, regardless of whether or not they are still part of your life. You will forever see them in a more positive light, which will ultimately make your future brighter, inshallah. So try these exercises at home. They're extremely, extremely powerful. We have a caller in line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Tasneem. How are
ahlan
you?
Wa sahlan. Welcome to the show. Alhamdulillah, I'm good. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, Tasneem. Such a nice program. And what a wonderful month, Mubarak month, Ramzan.
Jazakallah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding. It's easier said than done. It's very, very difficult to forgive. But my dear sister, it's something that we all struggle with. And it's something we want Allah to forgive us, so we need to forgive as well.
Yeah.
Your name is?
Zainab.
Zainab, and you're calling us from?
From Indonesia.
Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to the show.
You know, Sister Tasneem, what is wrong in forgiving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything wrong in forgiving. You know, after you have asked for forgiveness, you find peace.
Alhamdulillah.
And it's so nice in the month of Ramadan. Allah has given us so much of, you know, this chance to repent. You know, so much. Allah is so merciful, mm-hmm. so gafurud in Him. So I've got something here to say. It's like, don't wonder why Allah doesn't grant all your wishes immediately, but rather give thanks that He doesn't punish us immediately for all our mistakes. Ya Allah, You are most merciful.
Alhamdulillah, that's so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Jesus, and make the most of this Ramadan. There can be no better month than Ramadan.
Alhamdulillah. We're so sad that it's coming to an end.
May
Allah Ta'ala
accept
all our efforts.
I'm enjoying it so much.
We seem to have lost that caller. Wonderful call there from a sister, you know, just reminding us that we should make the most of these last 10 days, the best 10 days of the year. And within those beautiful 10 days, is a beautiful night, better than 1,000 months, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the understanding and grant us Jannah without reckoning, inshallah. And we will be back after the break, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam on Medium Wave 1548. Coming to you live from our studios in Indonesia on this rather sunny Tuesday afternoon. Subhanallah. Today's show, we're speaking all about how to forgive, how to free your heart from vengeance, unforgiveness, and how to clear your mind from thoughts and worries. And the only worry that we should be worried about is the only thing, only relationship that we should worry about is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, if we can fix that relationship, then Allah will fix everything else, inshallah. So Allah says in the Quran, do you not love that Allah should forgive you? Subhanallah, we all know the story about the accusations that were forged against Aisha radiallahu anha. But in addition to the story, the tafsir of Surah An-Nur, the ayah 22 reveals another story, a story of forgiveness, a story of compassion, a story demonstrating the superiority of those who act for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us of them, inshallah. So this story I found fascinating. Mista was the cousin of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was the son of Abu Bakr's maternal aunt, and a poor man with no wealth except whatever Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu spent on him. He was one of those who had migrated for the sake of Allah, and he invented the lies and slander against Aisha radiallahu anha. And, you know, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was known for his generosity, and he did favors, you know, subhanAllah, for all his family members. So when we look at this, you know, he did favors for his relatives and strangers alike. But when Allah revealed the ayah to confirm Aisha radiallahu anha's innocence from the slander invented by Mista, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu swore he would not help Mista ever again. In fact, he said, by Allah, I will never spend on you. And in another version, by Allah, I will never provide for Mista anything after what he said about Aisha. Obviously, being the father of Ummahatul Mu'mineen, he was very, very disturbed and saddened by what Mista had accused Aisha radiallahu anha of. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran, and I'm just going to read the translation, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah says, and let not those amongst you who are blessed with graces and wealth swear not to give to their kinsmen a masakin, the poor, and those who left their homes for Allah's cause, let them pardon and forgive. Do you not love that Allah should forgive you? And Allah is Al-Ghafur, Al-Rahim, the most forgiving, most merciful. And this ayat comes in Surah Nur, verse 22. This is part of the patience, the generosity and kindness of Allah towards His creation. Despite the fact that they wronged themselves, after Allah revealed the innocence of the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu anha, the believers were happy and content with the outcome of the incident. Those believers who had talked about the matter repented, and the prescribed punishment that had been carried out upon those on whom it was carried out. Then Allah softened the heart of As-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and towards his relative Mista bin Uthatha. When Allah revealed, Do you not love that Allah should forgive you? Which shows that the reward fits the action, and if you forgive others, you will be forgiven. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, of course, by Allah we love our Lord, and you know that we love that you should forgive us. Then he resumed his spending on Mista and said, by Allah, I will never stop spending on him. Subhanallah. After everything his family and his daughter went through, as a result of the slanderous tale, all it took was one ayah and a reminder about forgiveness and the forgiveness of Allah. May Allah grant us the wisdom and ability, you know, to, you know, we're so stubborn and sometimes we're so strong when it comes to our stubbornness. And the strength that is necessary to be gentle and forgiving when gentleness and forgiveness is most appropriate. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the status of those who love for His sake and hate for His sake. Ameen. SubhanAllah, I found that story so, so inspirational, especially when it came to, you know, thinking of who we need to forgive in our lives. And it's very, very important for us to take this time out during Ramadan to forgive those people, whether they deserve it or whether they don't deserve it. That's immaterial. Justice is in the hands of Allah. But it's so important from our side to forgive, because to forgive is to set a prisoner free, only to realize that that prisoner was you all along. We seem to have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Tashneen?
Alhamdulillah. Is that Sister Fatima from Azadwa?
Yes.
Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Alhamdulillah. With all your duas, we're all fine.
Alhamdulillah. And how is your Ramadan going?
Ramadan, so far, so good. Perfect.
Alhamdulillah.
In the 10 days, like I said. You know what? We are so fortunate, Tashneen, to have this 10 days. I mean, we might have faltered during the last few days, but Allah has given us this chance. It's like a treasure hunt.
Alhamdulillah.
And the Laylatul Qadr is our treasure hunt. And like you're speaking, what you're speaking on air about forgiveness, Allah is giving us this chance to ask for forgiveness or to forgive the people that hurt us. We're all insan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what I was supposed to say is that, you know, whatever we did, we might have hurt someone, and today is the perfect night to make that phone call. You're not going to become smaller. So whoever you hurt, or whoever you like, or held a grudge, just call them and just say, "Maaf, my sister, for the pleasure of Allah." And after Ramadan, you start with a new slate, inshallah.
Inshallah. I think that's so important. And like I was saying earlier, you just say, "Ya Allah, I forgive this person for you," even though they are not entitled to it, even though sometimes they don't even deserve it. But it's not even about them. It's just about you and emptying your heart of vengeance. And I think that is what we're trying to focus on today, inshallah.
Inshallah. Tashneem, I wanted to share something that I wrote.
Oh, lovely.
It's called, "Do You Recognize Me?"
Jazakallah. Go ahead, Fatima.
Okay. "I am dark. I am heartless. I have no soul. I am like a volcano ready to erupt, or an earthquake ready to crush your world. I am driven by the need to capture and poison the hearts and minds of weak and innocent souls. Once I have you imprisoned in my darkness, you will be transformed into my obedient puppet. I will pull your strings to carry out my mission. I am the grotesque mastermind behind jealousy, hate, gossip, lies, and general strife. Marriages will be broken, hearts will be shattered, families will become strangers and distant, there will be tears shed. There is no place for love and peace in my world. With me alongside you, there is no peace of mind. A friend I am not, my oblivious little human. I am only here to lead you to a road of self-destruction, and believe me, I will deceive you till the very end. Don't be fooled by thinking I cannot enter the heart of a believer. One sign of weakness, and I'm ready to knock at your door with my gift of pride, greed, and judgment. You may be blessed with wealth, but greed will keep you unsatisfied. You may have a beautiful home, but you will want more. You may have a car, but you will want bigger and better. You might seem righteous in people's eyes, performing acts of charity and being punctual with prayer, but you look down upon people, thinking they are beneath you and that you are better in Allah's eyes. I have you deceived, and I will make sure you are stripped of all your rewards. But I, too, have become so blind, living in my darkness, drunken with my pride. I have forgotten that there is a more powerful being out there who is a protector of all creation, especially the Ummah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Through the miracle of sincere du'as, your tears and cries are heard. Even my prisoner will receive the gift of guidance from Allah. And with his escape, my prison of darkness, and brighten their hearts with colors of pure goodness. If you are in the remembrance of Allah, the Almighty, there will be no room for me to invade your space and mind. So take heed of my weakness and strengthen your heart.
SubhanAllah, that's so beautiful, and you write straight from your heart, mashallah.
Jazakumullah.
It would be so interesting to have you recite more of your poetry inshallah.
Can I share something else?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Just it's about this whole vengeance and revenge and anger and hatred that we have. Like you said, that we need to find ourselves. We need to know who we are. And believe you me, we are the most wealthiest of all. It's not our riches that made us wealth. It's the gift of Iman that was given to us. And we are among the best of all creations. We are Ashraful Mukhlukat, the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The epitome, he was the epitome of peace. He had such a beautiful character. It is character that drew everyone to him. And remember, on his deathbed, what was his biggest worry? It was about us, his Ummah. So let us, for once in our life, and say, did our Prophet want us to be angry? Did he want us to be jealous? Did he want us to have hatred? No. So inshallah, my dear sisters, brothers in Islam, we are the Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should remember this Prophet. All he wanted was us to find ourselves, to love ourselves, and just follow simple, beautiful sunnah. Be like him, and believe you me, you will see your Jannah. Like they said, when we follow his sunnah, that's where success lies. This dunya is just, it's temporary, mm-hmm. and it's just a mirage. It is fooling us. So please, let's not be deceived by dunya, and let's find our Allah. And once we find our Allah, I promise you, all this hatred, jealousy will eventually disappear.
MashaAllah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us what beautiful words. May Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding of everything you just said. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for all of those that are suffering with unforgiveness, vengeance and hatred. Because it's not an easy process, like I was saying earlier. But inshallah, if we turn towards Allah, Allah Ta'ala can make it easy for us, inshallah. And it's so beautiful what you said, because the very basis of our religion is hope. Our entire religion is based on love. It's a religion of forgiveness. It's a religion of understanding. It's a religion of love. SubhanAllah. So we need to give this out to the world, inshallah. And start within ourselves, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love our children and our family, and love our neighbors, subhanAllah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even instructed us to love an inanimate object like Mount Uhud, because he said Uhud loves the people, so the people need to love Uhud, subhanAllah. So if we can, if a mountain can love us, why cannot we love insan?
Inshallah.
SubhanAllah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding. And JazakAllah, so much. Such a pleasure to have you on. I'd like to have you on longer, inshallah. And we look forward to hearing more from you after Ramadan, where we can have you in studio and you can be sharing more of your writing, beautiful writings, with the listeners, inshallah.
May remember me in your du'as.
Ameen.
And may Allah accept all our du'as on our special night.
Ameen. Allah Ta'ala accept, inshallah.
Wa
alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There was Sister Fatima joining us from Azad for sharing some of her beautiful writings with us straight from her heart. May Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding, inshallah. And we will be back after the break. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome back to Al-Dhikrayat with me, Tasneem, on Medium Wave 1548 on Radio Islam, coming to you live from our studios in Lanesia. Just before the break, we were speaking about how to free your heart from vengeance, hatred, and unforgiveness, and how to learn to let go this Ramadan, inshallah. So I think it's easier said than done, but inshallah we need to get that ball rolling and we need to start practicing on how to let go. And inshallah, do that visualization that I spoke about before the break, inshallah, where you actually picture the person that has hurt you and think about that person and say to Allah and say to the person that, Ya Allah, I forgive this person. So even though they're not entitled to it or they don't deserve the forgiveness, but inshallah, just learning to let go this Ramadan. And it's very, very important for our own spiritual development, because also during this blessed month, we're trying to develop and increase the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most of us claim loving Allah, you know, that we claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray, we fast during Ramadan, we give zakat and charity, but are we really aware of what it means to love Allah? So love for Allah is also obedience to His law, advising the good and prohibiting the evil. Love for Allah is remembering Allah always, and this is what the show is all about, ad-dikrayat. It's about simple reminders for the believers, things that we take for granted every single day, where we can make our 24/7 in a state of ibadah, inshallah. And these were the days of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how he spent his time in ibadah 24/7. By just having innamal a'malu binniyat. So I think love for Allah is remembering Allah always, worshipping Him, fearing Him, but also trusting Him completely and hoping for His forgiveness and His rahmah. And we can only hope for Allah's mercy if we have mercy on His creation, inshallah. So I came across 10 things which cause the muhabbah, the love of Allah, to develop. And these 10 things were by a scholar by the name of Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, rahimallah, and he was a scholar of Ibn Taymiyyah, subhanallah. So what he said was, the first thing that we should do is reciting the Quran. Not only to recite the Quran, but also to reflect and understanding its meaning and its intent. So this is very important. One of the ways for us to get closer to Allah, for us to develop this love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is for us to recite the Quran, to read the Quran and to understand the Quran. Before I continue, the lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548. The second thing we can try to do by, you know, to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through optional deeds after fulfilling our obligatory duty. So it's very, very important for us to draw closer to Allah and to draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our nafil ibadah. So anything that, you know, that is regarded as nafil ibadah, inshallah, try to do more of those deeds, and inshallah, this is how we can develop Allah's love for us and our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, we need to be continuously in the state of dhikr, which is in the remembrance of Allah, with the tongue, with the heart, the limbs, under all circumstances. The more continuous the dhikr, the more the love develops and intensifies. Because when you're thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're only going to be in His obedience, inshallah. And this brings about Allah consciousness and taqwa as well. The fourth thing we can try is to try and give precedence to what Allah loves over personal loves. You know, especially when we're being overcome by our nafs and our desires, to try and put Allah's wishes before our own. And this is something difficult, but inshallah, if we try to start and practice upon it, then inshallah, it will become second nature to us. The fifth thing we could try to do is contemplating and pondering over the beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we did at the beginning of the show, Radio Islam is doing a whole theme this month of Ramadan on the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we can get to know Allah and draw from Allah's treasures through His beautiful names, inshallah, and through His attributes. Just think about it. If you have a friend, you love her because of her attributes. You love her because she's generous, because she's kind, because she's bakes well, or she sends you nice goodies from time to time. You love her because of her attributes. Similarly, to get to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to know His names, you have to know His attributes. Once you understand who Allah is through His 99 names, He's Ar-Rahman, He's Ar-Rahim, He's the originator, He's the all-encompassing one, He's the most loving, subhanallah. And by getting to know Allah through the 99 names, this love can be so much more deeper and meaningful, inshallah. Because many a times our love for Allah is just mere lip service. This is what we think, you know, with regards to our relationship with Allah. We say we love Allah, but when the time comes to do a commandment of Allah, we pick and choose which ones we want to do, which one suits us and which one doesn't suit us. And this is not a true love affair with Allah. Because when you love Allah, it becomes sami'na wa ta'na. What we hear is what we obey, and that's what we do. Number six, we need to, you know, recognizing and remembering the favors and bounties of Allah, both manifest and hidden. So this is so important to introspect. Just for example, in a few more hours we'll be making iftar and, you know, recognizing the bounties that we have in front of us. There's many people that, you know, might have very little to eat for iftar, if not anything at all. And recognizing what Allah Ta'ala has put in front of you. And the fact that you can chew it, the fact that you have the ability to smell your food, the fact that you can see your food. All of these are the bounties and the gifts. And if we begin to think about all the things that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has blessed us with, that list will go on and on and on and on forever. Number seven, we need to be humble and submissive before Allah. And this is the greatest of matter, because we need to have a soft heart. We need to show humility. Allah Ta'ala hates pride and He hates arrogance. So it's very important for us to be humble and be subdued and submissive. And yes, yet when we think about these qualities and attributes, we think of it as a weakness. Na'udhubillah, because these are actually strengths. To be patient and to be submissive and to be humble is a great strength and a ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala blesses only a few. Number eight, it's very important to be in seclusion, reciting the Quran during that time in which Allah descends to the lowest heaven, which is the last third of every night in Ramadan and out of Ramadan. And we need to finish this recitation with seeking Allah's forgiveness and repenting to Him. Subhanallah. So that time between the third, last third of every night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven. And Allah ta'ala is waiting there and asking us, what do you need so I can give you? And this is when Allah Ta'ala is asking us to beg of Him, to seek from His treasures. Subhanallah. So it's so very important for us to be in seclusion and to be in solitude and to get to know Allah in that solitude. You know, to take time to be alone. And the best time to do it is during tahajjud time. Inshallah. Number nine, we need to sit in the gatherings of the true and sincere lovers of Allah, the awliya, reaping the fruits of their speech, and not to speak except if there is benefit in it, and that you know that such talk will increase you in goodness and that it will benefit others as well. And that is so important, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that you are on the religion of your friends. So be careful who you befriend. It's so, so important that we follow these advices in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the tenth one is to stay clear of all those causes which distances the heart from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So these are the 10 reasons which cause a person to develop true love for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and to reach the rank of Al-Mahabbah, by which he reaches his beloved. Dhikr is another way of acquiring Allah's love, and we should try and, you know, find ourselves busy during the day making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Him in every single way, whether we're cooking, whether we're driving, whether we're singing to the children, whether we're at work. And dhikr is not only clicking that counter. We need to, you know, link our heart to what we're reciting. So we need to be extremely cautious here and ensure that whenever we are doing Allah's dhikr, we should be doing it wholeheartedly and with complete focus. There are two major mistakes people make while doing dhikr, while doing the remembrance of Allah. We do the dhikr without understanding the meaning of those adhkar. We do dhikr absent-mindedly, meaning our tongue is moving with Allah's remembrance, but we don't know when we began the dhikr or when we finished it. Still, many scholars say that even if one makes the above mistakes in his or her dhikr, they will still be rewarded, but not with the same level of reward as someone who performed the dhikr continuously with complete ihsan. Ihsan is a level of faith when the believer really feels that Allah is watching him all the time. So the believers struggle to please Allah, doing all kinds of good deeds and acts of worship for Allah's sake only. Subhanallah. Also, we should love what Allah loves. In Surah Baqarah, in verse 222, Allah Almighty says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, truly Allah loves those who turn unto Him in repentance and love those who purify themselves. In pondering and reflecting upon the numerous blessings of Allah upon each of us, and be grateful to Him and love Him for His countless favors in a good way of increasing our love for our Creator. As Allah says in the Quran again, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you cannot count my blessings if you want to. Subhanallah. These are the words of your Rabb and my Rabb, and it's so important that Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding of what He's instructing us to do. And that brings us to the end of today's show. I look forward to being with you again next week, inshallah. From myself and my engineer Jahangir, fi amanillah. I think it's just so important for us to maximize on these last 10 days, and until we meet again, inshallah, let us just try and, you know, try and be the best Muslims that we can possibly be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and keep you in great health, you know, great iman, great love and service throughout this blessed month of Ramadan. From me and Jahangir, my engineer, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.